tracks did JD have when you were doing all this? How many tracks? How many tracks were you?
I think it was a two-track.
It was two-track mm-hmm. until when?
Till probably till the 60s. 63, I guess he got the four-track.
Does that mean you had to kind of like cluster instruments around two microphones, basically? Is that how
it Right, you had to have the basically most of the, every, all the instruments there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So you had to, I mean, it was almost as if you were had to do it all in one, all
right.
one take.
That's right.
So, okay.
That's why it took all night to get one tune done.
Yeah, so you couldn't come in and like, laid a drum track down or anything
no.
like that or anything like that, and they could kind of overdub, but they couldn't really overdub anything.
No.
Yeah.
That's why it was a bunch of work to do that.
Yeah. When you worked all night, Warren, I was going to ask just some questions about JD. When you worked all night and, you know, you worked overtime, was JD paying you guys, I mean, mm-hmm. was he paying you by the session or was he paying you by the hour?
He wasn't paying by the hour. He was just paying what he wanted to, you know.
Did you think you treated you pretty fairly when you had to, like, work?
No, I think for the work we done, we should have gotten more than what we made, you know.
Yeah.
You know, for all the hours that we put in.
Do you remember any particular sessions where it took you a really long time to get a record out of a session you wanted to get the JD?
For a final mix, you know, for a final master.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Katie was saying that JD was really a perfectionist in the
studio.
Yeah,
well, we had to write. It took a long time, you know.
Do you remember any marathon session that you...
Yeah, well, the prison song in my first record was a marathon thing. And a lot of them was, because if we'd make a mistake naturally, the whole group was there. Everybody had to be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, if one of them made a mistake, we had to stop and start over again. And then on the next take, if another musician made a mistake, well, we had to stop until everybody got it right, you see?
Okay.
So that's why it took so long like that.
Yeah,
you know, everybody had to be, you know, perfect.
And you had two tracks. I guess when you had... When was the time where you could go into like Crowley and actually lay down different tracks at one time? When did you think you first started getting modern like that? When you
73, 74.
That's when you can kind of like you could. We had a microphones. I mean the headphones and everything.
Yeah, right. Well, like when I went in 1974, my first album. I played drums on the track, and then I went back and, you know, and sang with the track after that. Whereas in the 50s, I'd have to play drums and sing. Then they couldn't separate my voice, you see.
Yeah. But he was able to add other instruments as well. Like, for example, if you lay down the drum track and everything, he was able to add instruments too, so you could hear a more fuller sound.
Right.
Thing, right?
What we'd do is just go there and lay the rhythm track, like, you know, like the piano, bass, guitar, and drums, and then you can add anything else after that.
Yeah.
As long as you'd have the basic track.
Yeah, so it was actually a pretty long time before you got really sophisticated with that.
That's right.
So, because I think in the late 50s, I think they were getting multi-track records, I think, even like in the late 50s. So, but it took JD, I guess, a while to do that. But of course, it's expensive. Did he have 24 tracks in 1973, or was that a lot later?
No, they had 16 track then.
16 track. Well, I guess 16 is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Did it have a 16 track console as well as a recorder?
Right.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got a 24 track console and recorder.
Right.
That's how.